Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the best of two pros and a cup of Joe with LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and Jonas Knox on Fox Sports Radio.
Fired up?
Good morning.
Excited?
Sure.
Wishing yesterday's games had been a little bit more competitive. Just a little bit more, you know? Yeah. It was probably, I guess the Pelicans OKC was, but that was about it. In all of sports.
Very chalky. Very chalky opening
chalky
weekend in the NBA
just
playoffs.
Blowouts.
Yeah.
You ever feel like you kind of wish you could just fast forward everything sometimes? You know, like the DVR has really kind of spoiled me, because if you've got something on demand, you can kind of choose how you want to watch it, when you want to watch it. And I wish we could just have the option to just fast forward to like games 4 and 5 of these series. Because I feel like the opening weekend in the first round of the NBA playoffs, it's just kind of, eh. You know what's going to happen for the most part, and you're just hoping there's no serious injury, and there's a lot of guys that are already injured going into the playoffs. Just, I'm with you, a little bit lackluster from the NBA to start off the playoffs.
I feel like I'd love to go back through the last few years and look at, like, the margin of victory. It wasn't just the NBA, though. I mean, even in hockey, like, the Rangers obviously won by wide margin their game. I guess Cavs and Jets were a little more competitive. A lot of scoring in that, which was ridiculous, but yeah, just overall. I mean, Scottie Scheffler's up 5 today, finishing up the RBC. I mean, it just, nothing was really overly competitive yesterday.
Yeah.
Sixers, that was a little bit of a surprise. Sixers and the Knicks, I'd say. Other ones, I kind of felt like that was on par. I thought it was interesting that the Heat, who has had, obviously, the Celtics' number, have played so chippy and so well, even without having Butler in the lineup. It seemed like it could have been a game before it got a little out of control.
Did the Knicks play yesterday?
No, I'm just talking in general.
Saturday.
Yeah.
They were the favorite, though, right?
Yeah, well, but I feel like the Sixers should win. A lot of people I've talked to think that the Sixers have a great opportunity to win the series.
Yeah, the series price was even money on that one.
I felt like that's a series, if you have a healthy Joel, that they should win. He's not fully healthy, but I think that I felt like he would be healthy enough for them to make it a better game or win the game. So I'm interested, because that was a super competitive game there, maybe the most of all of them that took place.
The best event of the weekend was the Garcia Haney fight.
No doubt.
It was interesting.
I mean,
which also wasn't really close.
Yeah,
unless you're looking at the cards, which for seemed like a...
That was a that's one of the weirder fights and buildups to a fight I've seen.
It was
seen
a weird post game interview or post fight interview as well. I mean, he went from talking about Jesus believed in him and I love God and I love Jesus to F that mother effer. And, I'm not that ever, man. Y'all pieces of ass though. Like, whoa, hold on, bro.
That I drink and smoke every night, and then he's, he's sending videos of him smoking weed, apparently chilling afterwards, and then chilling. Lets everybody know church is at noon. It's like, okay, well,
he did say
put that on your way in.
ADHD, and it looked like it was apparent. It was at work, Dorn.
That Dorn looked more like being bipolar, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I wouldn't disagree with that.
That wild fight, man.
It was. I mean, it again, I know people don't like Floyd. They don't like him. But you should. Because the bottom line is, whether you liked his fighting style or not, he has been a master. He was a master at not getting hit and being able to win fights. And listen, I just watched the Canelo fight. Canelo's going to fight again pretty soon. The dude is as good as it gets, and Floyd schooled him.
Yeah.
He schooled him. And we look at these fighters that you start to get a little comfortable or confident comparing to Floyd and how he does and what he does and the differences. And a lot of people got to that point with Devin Haney. And it did not look like that was a Floyd-esque or comparable guy to Floyd during the course of that fight at all.
Yeah, I think the bigger story is Garcia, though. Just, I'm not sure how good he can be, but so he wins the fight. He doesn't make the weight, so he doesn't get the belt.
Yeah, he doesn't get the
belt. And like when you're watching Oscar De La Hoya on the post-game press conference, I mean, I think they're really concerned about whatever his path is going to be moving forward. If that is legitimately his regimen up until the fight, if this is what it is afterwards, like, what is the lifespan? Like, you can only do what he's doing if he's doing it at that high of a level so long before it catches up with you.
I don't know what the lifespan is, but I know Bernard Hopkins wanted to bang with Big Haney, the dad. You remember when he told him, let's go to the bathroom. Like, yeah. let's go catch a fade in the bathroom. I just know that Golden Boy was probably super happy that Garcia beat the hell out of Devin Haney in that fight.
Well, then you had Eddie Hearn, the promoter for Haney, who got into it with Garcia's dad afterwards as well, too. It's like everybody's dad's trying to fight everybody's promoter.
It's just
a fun event, and I wonder if Haney's going to be the same after that fight.
They did say they would run it back, right?
Okay, well.
I would not want to see that fight again. I didn't think Haney was even in the zip code. And he was lucky. Is it Doc? Harvey Dock.
I mean, terrible job.
Harvey Dock held him up, allowed him to hold the point deduct. I mean, the whole thing, you're going, dude, just let him fight. And to Garcia's point, like, they probably should have called it earlier.
Yeah.
If not for Harvey Dock really giving Haney every chance he had to catch his breath, recoup, at times allowing him to lock up more than he should have. I mean, it was... He kind of made it try to sound like it was even, but when you're watching, you're like, dude, he's outstanding up. He's just trying to survive and hang on. And yet the entire time, Doc's just letting him keep tying up and let him keep tying up. It's just, I was shocked. I thought that was I don't know if you want to call it officiating, whatever you want to call it. It was just, it was bad. You can't have that for another big fight like that.
I just think when you're the champ and you lose, you should get another go at it. Like, that's just how I look at it. I mean, I get it. Sometimes champs get dominated and they lose, and then they realize what took place and what happened, and then the rematch is something totally different. Like, yeah. I'm waiting for the Bud Crawford, Terrence.
I just wouldn't want to watch it again.
You know, I'm waiting for that Errol Spence fight. I'm waiting for that one to come back around. He dominated him. Like, it's not really you should see that again, but if they feel like, if the champ feels like, we should have a rematch. That's because they gave him a chance. Like he said, give me another shot at it. Haney said, give me another shot at it because, you know, in the end, I gave Garcia a shot at it, like, which he did. He gave him the opportunity to fight him.
Well,
and so that's, to me, you give him another, like, run it back.
The tough thing is it's not for a belt.
No, so it's not. It's not. It's not. But Garcia didn't get it either. Right, so it's right, kind of right. Like, it doesn't matter because it still was the champ. Like, he gave up his belt, but it isn't. It's not like Garcia's the champ now and he gets to move with saying, I'm
so
the champ.
Because he missed weight by the 3 pounds, he got punished and was there was like a $600,000 punishment that was a fine by the commission or whatever as part of the contract. Then I guess he told Haney, I'll give you $500,000 for every pound I'm over. And Haney said he made good on it. So Haney ended up getting one extra $1.5 million just because Ryan Garcia wanted to smoke weed and drink, you know, 3-4 nights a week or every single night before he got ready
for
the fight.
Did you see he placed a $2 million bet on himself? Which, I mean, I don't know if that's legal or not based on the report, but that would be a huge, huge win.
Oh, yeah. Was it like plus 575 in some places?
During the fight, they were showing the live odds. He was like plus 450, and it was very apparent after the first 3 rounds he was going to be the better of the two fighters that night. I mean, Haney had a few rounds after that, but you could still live bet almost get 5-to-1 odds on Ryan Garcia, like 3-4, and he probably, I would say, won the first 2 or 3. I mean, it was shocking to see kind of like how far into the fight it took it before it started to even become live betting, even money.
Ryan Garcia was down on one of the judges' scorecards.
Oh, yeah, you can't. Like it's,
that is wild as hell. Three knockdowns.
Let me tell you something. Whenever there's complaints about NFL officiating and stuff like that, just get a whiff of boxing every now and again, and you just wonder, what the hell are you guys watching?
Bro, he was down, like, what are they having down? 3 points? On the first card,
this doesn't like how do you have the fight even when there were 3 knockdowns?
Right.
Like, so there's basically 3 10-8s except for one of them was a point deduction. So you look at that and it's probably a 9-8. But how do you have him as a draw when he's knocked the guy down 3 times? And the funny thing is because the right guy won the fight. Nobody's going to question that judge because the result
unlike
outweighs.
The fight we bet on, though. You know, we bet on a fight where the guy clearly won.
And we got jobbed. We were on the right side of that.
It was because you placed the bet, though.
Again, I'm not even going to bring up the fact that I got bad betting advice this weekend again from Brady Quinn. I'm not going to bring that up again.
What?
Second weekend in a row.
When did we even talk this weekend?
Avs, what? Jets, Colorado. I mean, I'm sitting there going,
When did we even talk this weekend?
You texted me and said, hey, I got a winner for you.
That's not true.
I got a winner for you.
You were the biggest liar in the history.
You said, and I quote, I've got a winner for you. I apologize for last week. Let me make it up to you. I really like
this. Does any of that sound like something I would say?
And meanwhile,
why would I ever call you with betting advice? I wouldn't share anything with you from a betting standpoint. Out of the fact that you would probably be the mush. You probably taint the entire thing.
Meanwhile.
So I would not share any. I will share betting advice someone asked me about. So Saturday night, someone texted. They said, hey, I had bet $3,500 on Scottie Scheffler to win the RBC Heritage. And he goes, I can cash out now, because he was up 4 strokes, 3 strokes, whatever, win $9,200, or I could let it play out Sunday and potentially win $20,000. And I was like, I don't know what to tell you, man. This is like a no-win spot to be in. I was like, I go, I don't know. Can he stay this hot forever? Like, I just cash out now. Who knows? Yeah, this dude's probably, hopefully he didn't, because he's going to win $20,000 tomorrow.
That's rough. Yeah, way to put you in a bad spot there.
But again, I do not talk to you about betting ever.
All I know is this, is that the Colorado Avalanche gave up 7 goals. And the only way you do that is if you pull the goalie an hour before the game and just let it ride.
Dang.
They were awful. Absolutely awful. Sick of this crap.
Dang.
Try
to. You are also going up against the best goalie in the league. So
okay, man. Yeah. He gave up 6, didn't he?
He did. It was more crazy. They gave up 6 within like the first 12 minutes of that first period.
That was fun.
Combined.
That's the thing about the NHL playoffs. You don't have to have a rooting interest. Just throw a game on and hope it's a close one in the third period, and you're good. Just sit and watch, and just watch the intensity take over, and it's a fun little ride for everybody.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask?
Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hey, it's Jonas Knox, and you know O'Reilly Auto Parts, you know, O'Reilly, who are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you'll find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, friendly. And by the way, I was just at O'Reilly not that long ago, within the last month, and guess what? Needed some help with the alternator, had some questions with the batteries. They helped me right away and did it right there in the parking lot. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit them at O'ReillyAuto.com/2pros. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/2pros.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
Right now, we turn it over to the old P, Petros Papadakis, the co-host of the Petros and Money Show, which you can hear on The Blowtorch, AM 570 LA Sports, a Fox college football analyst who's just jacked up to the gills thinking about the NFL draft tomorrow night.
Oh, P, what's happening?
Oh, yeah. Hi, P.
Fired up.
Good morning, everybody. I get the day off, so I am fired up.
Nice. Nice.
Hey, right? P, we were talking with Pete Prisco yesterday, and he does this thing where he says
Pete
what
pitches
Pete Prisco from CBS.
Did you call him Peaches? You're not supposed to call a grown man Peaches.
No.
Oh, you know Peaches, the rapper, the ex prostitute rapper?
No.
Oh, you never heard of Peaches?
No.
The Teaches of Peaches?
No.
Oh, let me look that up.
You never heard the song F the Pain Away?
Whoa.
No. Wow.
No. Oh, you know what I heard yesterday? I heard a Steven Seagal reggae song.
That's pretty old, but it recirculated for some reason.
What was
yesterday.
That? The Screwface song?
No, actually, Steven Seagal, he had an interest in reggae music for a while, and he did that movie, Marked for Death.
Marked for Death, yeah.
And I can quote the entire movie. Mm. Marked for Death is actually rooted in some truth. It was a Jamaican gang called the Shower Posse that basically started the crack epidemic in the United States
really?
of America, for a lot of reasons. The guy, the guy's name was Lester Koch, but his nickname was Jim Brown, and he was the bodyguard for Michael Manley, who was the prime minister of Jamaica, so he had international immunity, and he basically ran crack cocaine through the United States for a long time. So that basically,
I thought the dudes were twins, and their names were Screwface on Mark.
Yeah, well, Screwface have two eyes,
Screwface,
two heads and four eyes, and that is may not care him sell the drugs.
That is the
that
magic.
Is part of doing business.
Yeah,
Screwface, yeah, the twin dreadlock Rastafarian mystic.
Rasta.
That is not, that is, or I believe he wasn't even Rost. He was like into Santeria or something in the movie. That was not really representative of who the drug dealer was. But the movie itself had some reality roots because of the 90s Jamaican crack cocaine thing, which is detailed very well in a book called A Brief History of Seven Killings.
Hmm. Dang.
Yes.
That's interesting.
So that's like that's a real thing. So Steven Seagal was interested in reggae, and he actually wrote a very good reggae song. He did not sing it. He wrote a good reggae song with Jimmy Cliff, who's a legendary artist.
Yeah.
I believe the song that I was listening to was called Strut.
Yeah, that's a Steven Seagal dance hall song. Yeah, but the song he wrote, John Crow, Yaguan Yam Yasapasun Boy.
Yaguan.
Yeah, that. John Crow, Yaguan Yam Yasapasun Boy. John Crow, you're going to lead the children astray. Oh, yeah. That's from Marked for Death, and it's actually pretty good.
Hmm.
Now, there's an old Bob Marley song, really old, from the 70s called Screwface Knows Who Feels Frightened. Because he does.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When I say I'm on Fiesta Screw.
Yeah. That's really good, Petros.
Well, so anyway, that's that.
Marked for Death, 1990 is when it came out. Hour 33 minutes. You know, like there is something to just a 90-minute get through it. 90
somebody
minutes I'll go dead. And you're done.
Somebody hold I'll on. Go dead tonight.
Lee, can you tell Petros what you just told us in the group chat?
My insurance agent's name is Steven Seagal, and so I've been passing along that exact thing that you and I, Brady, have been passing along, the Strut music video with me and my fellow neighbors, condominiums.
So random. That's just Lee's life, dude. Better yet, I bet Steven Seagal sells insurance. I bet it actually is Steven Seagal
in Moscow. Now. Doesn't he have a guest with him in Strut?
Yes. Is it Lady Beanie Saw?
Lady
oh, he's got
Saw.
Lady Saw. All right. Wow. See, now here's the deal. Lady
name.
Saw is one of the most important female dance hall, is probably the most. She it's changed her name and has become a preacher now. But back then she was really into slackness or what would be called, you know, lewd and bawdy lyrics.
Mm.
But Lady Wine. Saw... there's two people you would probably get, right? If you needed to do a dancehall song and you wanted some immediate legitimacy. And obviously, Steven Seagal did not achieve this, even with Lady Saw on the song. But Gwen Stefani used Lady Saw on a song. Remember that? Underneath it all, yeah, me real prince charming like the eat from the fire.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that was her.
Yeah, right,
and
Jones.
Then,
it's...
you remember?
Yeah.
Underneath
yeah,
it all.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Okay, all right.
And then the other one was the other guy Patra? You always...
The guy?
Patra, pull up to me bumper.
Yeah.
No, but the guy you would get, because I remember Eddie Murphy did a reggae song not long ago.
Levy.
And maybe 6-7 years ago, Eddie Murphy did a reggae song, and he tagged the Beanie Man.
The Beanie Man.
Yeah, the Beanie. Sim Sima! Which is a different guy. Yeah. So, anyway, there's some reggae dancehall talk if you guys want to.
Nice.
The fact that Steven Seagal and Eddie Murphy think they can dabble in those waters, a little bit disrespectful to me. Got to leave it to the professionals.
Well, they're trying to promote the music, and if you use a Jamaican on it and use Jamaican producers, I don't have a problem with it.
Why can't you do it, Petros? You do better than them. You're more creative. Let's bang one out.
Jeez. A dance hall song?
Yeah, something reggae, original.
That, you know, I would have many years ago, but I think that boat has left the harbor. But that being said, Seagal used to come in my dad's restaurant a lot. There's pictures of my dad and Seagal back in the day.
Was that before or after you guys hit OJ when he was on the run?
Yikes.
After.
Oh.
And, you know, we never hit OJ.
Yeah, I didn't hide him.
But you would.
No, we wanted to.
Do you want to hide Caleb Williams? I mean, they're comparing him to another singer. Not quite as tough as Steven Seagal, or maybe seemingly not
El DeBarge?
As tough. Well, not quite El DeBarge, but all the way Prince. Yeah, compared to Prince. Do you see the comparisons and personality traits and how they do things? Like, is that a fair comparison?
Well, I hope he doesn't take pills.
Oh, geez.
What?
Dang.
It brought Prince down.
Dang.
If you like,
it brought Prince down.
Bang, bang.
Prince is one of the great artists of all time. And I'm not really like a huge pop music guy. And I never really, when I was younger, I didn't really understand it. But if you ever watch, there's a performance of My Guitar, While My Guitar Gently Weeps. I think it's a George Harrison memorial type of thing. That they did at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And, I mean, it's just an all-star. You got Tom Petty and Jeff Lynne and all these guys. Really popular artists over the years. And it's just a beautiful collection of artists, and they're singing the song. And then Prince comes out, and he's there, but the light goes on him, and he does the guitar solo. And it's one of the most brilliant guitar solos of all time. I mean, it's crazy. His ability to play the guitar. I mean, he's one of the great guitar. He's like Jimi Hendrix. He really was. Mm. So I don't think Caleb Williams could pick up the guitar. I mean, I don't even think his improvisational skills as a quarterback can touch comparatively what Prince could do.
Jeez.
That being said, his mannerisms are feminine? Is that what we're talking about?
I don't know what it sounds as though the scout that was talking about him basically said that that's what scares the hell out of a lot of scouts and teams. Is
well, it was weird. I heard when he was meeting with Eberflus, the first thing he said was, "Touch, if you will, my stomach. See how it trembles inside." And that was a little, you don't hear that a lot from a quarterback. I don't know. I mean, he's a spectacular player.
Would you take him number one overall?
I'd have to, right? Because otherwise you get fired.
But
we talked about this. Like, the consensus pick is the guy that everybody was going to pick number one. You're not going to be able to trade out of it because maybe people don't feel that perfect about it right now. Like, he's not who's the guy that looks like Prince Valiant down in Jacksonville.
Oh, Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence, yeah.
Now, Petros, we've talked about this. You know what Lawrence looks like? He looks like the guy who jumped out of the painting in Ghostbusters 2.
Zool?
No, Vigor. Vigor, yeah. You watch that movie, he looks
here
like
he
that
comes,
guy.
Here he comes, Vigo, the master of evil. Remember the Bobby Brown song from Ghostbusters 2?
Yeah.
Control? It's a great song. Well, I guess we're gonna... Yeah. Have to take control. Oh.
Gotta take control. Gotta take control.
By the way, for a sequel, Ghostbusters 2 wasn't too bad.
You know what? It really wasn't. It's underrated. I watched the new Ghost. I actually went to the theater with my family and took the kids to watch the new Ghostbusters movie.
I haven't seen it. How was that?
Well, I was surprised to see that there was like an implied lesbian teenage ghost relationship.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
Just got to get it in.
Hey.
That's kind of everywhere, though, nowadays, isn't it? Hey.
Well, you know, they had a few things for the old heads like us, like some Aykroyd and Bill Murray nostalgia. And then for the young people, they're like, here it is. An androgynous lesbian relationship.
Hey, you got to meet. Hey, Petros, you got to have an aisle for everybody, you know?
Right? Where's Bobby Brown and Rick Moranis? I want to be a ghost with you. Why? What are you guys going to do?
Why? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, and I guess they're going to have to take control.
Get a Petros. Get a Petros.
There's a delay.
Yeah.
I had the single.
Do you really?
I remember those days.
The single.
Yeah, I wasn't buying the whole. It wasn't like New Jack City. I wasn't buying the whole soundtrack.
That was like the dopest thing.
New Jack City,
back
the whole
in the
soundtrack
day.
Was
you
great.
You could get the single.
You could get the single.
You didn't have to wait around through all the crap.
It was like $4.99 or something like that.
Kind of a ripoff, you
the
think
whole,
about it.
The whole cassette was like, what, $19 or something?
Think about the New Jack City soundtrack, though.
Oh, come on, man.
You had I Want to Sex You Up,
yeah,
by Color
Me
Bad.
You had
My D Is in the Dust, by Two Live Crew.
Yeah.
What's the D stand for?
Because my back is to the wall, and my D is in the dust.
Dang, you are on one today.
Was Keith Sweat on that album?
Ice-T was on there.
Keith Sweat sang at the wedding in New Jack City.
Yeah, he did.
Like the goat that he is.
Yeah, he did. New Jack Hustler, though. Come on.
Nobody knows what it was like, LeVar, living in L.A. back in the day and putting on K-Day and listening to Keith Sweat sing.
Including me.
I'll give all my loving to you.
I mean, it's a great song.
Who can love you like me? Nobody.
Yeah.
You know, the Keith Sweat later track, Twisted, was strong as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know.
You are my everything.
You got me twisted.
You got me twisted over you.
And let's not forget God. Remember, I want to get with you.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
That was the New Jack Swing. Didn't God created the New Jack Swing?
Now everything sucks.
That's so true, though.
I take my kid to see Ghostbusters. It's like, wait a minute.
Dang. Wait a minute. What?
Why she want to be a ghost with this other ghost?
That's a tad bit perplexing.
I don't think we talked about anything sports related.
We talked about Caleb.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm trying to tell you that if it's a consensus number one pick and you pick him, it doesn't get you fired. If you don't pick him, it gets you fired.
Yeah.
Even if he sucks, if you pick him, everybody else was going to pick him. Everybody else shrugs their shoulders and say, well, you were stuck with the number one pick.
Besides the anonymous source who was like, oh, he's, you know, wasn't manly enough. Yo, ba-doon. He's got the dip in and everything, you know? God.
Well, listen, P, we appreciate it. It was fun talking about movies from the early 90s.
Watch that Prince
crack.
Guitar solo. Look, here's your assignment. What's this?
Oh.
Strut. Steven Seagal.
So there's Lady Saw.
Yeah. Raw.
It sounds like that's a unique beat.
This is horrible.
Is that Steven Seagal?
Yes.
Is it really?
Me want to put on the sea.
I expected worse.
It sounds horrible.
I mean, he sounds like Sting.
Yeah, he tried. Like
it does.
Like a cheaper version.
Sting's playing Beach Life.
That's right. May 5th.
Yeah,
that was.
I mean,
beautiful.
It's just mostly
That's
Lady
horrible.
Saw doing her thing.
Yeah, she carries the song.
Let me see you put on it.
Oh no!
Speaking of which, at the old P is where you can find him on Twitter. Petros Papadakis, the co-host of the Petros
P means now
on the Blowtorch AM570.
You know what you guys
LA
should
Sports.
Listen to on, during the BQ news?
Yeah,
and it's all yours. 5:55 you guys should listen to Peeny Peeny by Shabba Ranks.
Oh, Shabba!
Yeah, there's. Guys, if you guys want to listen to Dance Hall, I can help you out.
Don't tempt me with a lover, man.
You don't have to turn to Steven Seagal.
Mr. Loverman.
Petros, we appreciate it. We'll do it again next week.
Shabba.
There he is.
If a lover look at fire, buck up on the right, man.
Every time. I'll say this.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern. 3 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Jonas Knox. And you know O'Reilly Auto Parts? You know, O'Reilly, who are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you'll find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, friendly. And by the way, I was just at O'Reilly not that long ago, within the last month, and guess what? Needed some help with the alternator, had some questions with the batteries, they helped me right away and did it right there in the parking lot. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit them at O'ReillyAuto.com/2pros. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/2pros.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
We are going to do the impossible here on this show. We are going to make impossible things possible. And how are we going to do that? We're going to try and make sense as to why the Atlanta Falcons took Michael Penix Jr. at number 8. That's what we're going to do after signing Kirk Cousins to that monster deal, because that was the big shocking move that took place in the NFL draft last night, was Atlanta going Michael Penix Jr. instead of, I don't know, best defensive player on the board, trading back, maybe a wide receiver. Who knows? Brock Bowers was there if they wanted to put him next to Kyle Pitts. Not that Michael Penix Jr. isn't a great player himself, but you just signed Kirk Cousins. I don't get it. Somebody's got to make sense to me.
Var, how did you guys react when you guys saw the pick?
The information that I got was that they loved him too much to pass him.
Okay.
That was the opinion that was given yesterday. Jay was pretty obviously, again, was spot on every single pick.
It's cool, right?
he's just got some crazy relationships, man. It's just so solidified that he has the pick. I mean, he has it so well in advance that we literally can have an educated conversation about the pick versus like why it's another pick or why you thought it was someone else. It's not. We got to focus in on who the pick was and why. And I think the consensus was, to me, I in my mind, I felt like, all right, is it based upon the fact that he doesn't have a very long contract? It's like 2 years of guaranteed money, I believe. And he's coming off of an injured, you know, he lost the season to an injury.
Achilles
injury. So I was just curious as to, could that have played a part in you bringing in Michael Penix? Like, we get 2 years with Kirk Cousins. We get 2 years to develop Michael Penix. And then we make a decision after year two as to what direction we'd like to go in. But it seemed as though the information that was ascertained about why the pick took place was they just simply liked him too much to pass up on him.
I'll be honest. I'd love to hear that. Like to hear that, and obviously with the sources that Jay has, it's probably coming directly from someone who's making that decision, if you know what I mean. Now, yeah. The problem with that is if you were paying attention to social media, there was a clip that went viral where it felt like Terry Fontenot had to explain himself to Arthur Blank as to what the blank are you doing?
Oh, no.
And like as a general manager, they're going to view their roster different than everyone else on the outside. So, you know, Jonas starts off saying, well, Brock Bowers is there. Lee calls him Brock Powers. Why didn't we get him, put him next to Kyle Pitts, all these weapons? And you might sit there and go, yeah, that's nice, but you just signed Darnell Mooney. You just signed Rondale Moore. You brought in Ray McLeod, who can be a good return man. And you've already got Drake London and Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson. Like, how many guys do you need to have on your roster that you're going to feed the football to? And so then you look at the offensive line. You're like, okay, where can we upgrade there? I mean, Jake Matthews is a former first-round pick. Lindstrom, McGarry, all former first-round picks, have done pretty well. Bergeron at the left, you know, guard's fine. Drew Dolman at center is fine. I mean, maybe not really a spot we feel like we can upgrade with where we're, you know, drafting at eight then and what we have. Then you look at the defense. Defense played really well last year. And you got to wonder, too, if Raheem Morris is taking it over going, yeah, you know, we could have went with a, you know, Dallas Turner maybe who was still on the board, or maybe when we go with someone in the secondary, but we feel good about the guys we got, at least in comparison to what we're drafting. And there's a lot of offensive guys we really like. So I think if the thought process was we're going to draft Michael Penix because, as you said, they love him. And I get that. I love the tape. I love the young man from the times of, you know, that being around him and watched his games and all that. But it's also the fact that you do have a 36-year-old quarterback. He is coming off an Achilles. It still doesn't answer the question of, if you're the owner and you're Arthur Blank, you just spent $100 million of my dollars for the 2024 season, the 2025 season, and then $10 million into the 2026 season. What the blank are we doing here? And so I think Terry Fontenot is bending on two things. This, if they love Michael Penix, then this is what's best for his development, which I love. Like the situation, circumstances for Michael Penix, I love. I think him and J.J. McCarthy probably have the two best shots of making something out of the situations they've entered into. And we can get into that later. But as an owner, when you're talking about signing up for $100 million guaranteed for a guy, who now you've got the guy in waiting right after. Yeah, I'd want to hear a little bit of explaining, right? Because you got to put those monies in the escrow right away when you consummate that contract. And so he probably wants to be justified about it. So I didn't have any issue with it. I think a lot of people are going to be critical because they look and say, well, hey, in our mock draft, we had him taking a D end, or hey, we had him taking someone else, like maybe Byron Murphy, because we feel like Grady Jarrett's getting up there in age. Well, Grady Jarrett's still there, and he's still playing at a pretty darn good level. So I had no problem with the pick. I love this for Penix. It could work out where, what if Cousins gets hurt? You know, then you've got a solid quarterback who I think could come in, light things up as a rookie, and help keep you in the division hunt, in the playoff hunt, all of that. So it was a surprise, but in looking back on it, I love it.
Raheem Morris, the Falcons head coach, he explained the decision behind the Michael Penix draft pick at number 8 last night.
We won't have the ability to be picking this high again with the guy that we got. And these guys go off the board pretty quickly. And we thought it would be important for us to address our future quarterback right now while we're picking this low in these moments and to be able to move forward. You know, fortunately enough with us, we got a Kirk Cousin in the building. We got a guy that can go out there and win football games, and we should be picking high enough. We talked about winning the South. We talked about doing some of these things. That includes going to the playoffs. You just seen 6 quarterbacks go off the board before the 12th pick of the draft. And we don't want to be picking on it anymore. And Terry's done a nice job of getting us some really good players, some quality players, but we don't want to be back in that position. So let's move forward, think about the future, address that right now. Green Bay model was something that we talked about, and it's been proven to be right last year. So hopefully we'll be right with them.
So that's the model, Green Bay.
Well, by the way, it's not just last year. I mean, it worked really with Favre to Rodgers. But did they forget the fact that, like, there's a lot of drama that happened, and drama's already occurred now as Mike McCartney, the agent for Kirk Cousins, like, yeah, it would have been nice if we got a heads up. It wasn't until they're on the clock till Cousins gets told about it. Like, I understand people are going to be like, well, hey, they're paying them. What does it matter if they inform Kirk Cousins? I don't know. I think you'd want to have a guy on board you just signed, you know, $180 million total, but $100 million contract to, that's going to be leading your team for the next 2 years. You should probably say to him, like, hey, man, we want you to be on board with this. No offense. Like, prove us wrong that you're going to be playing at a high level for 3 straight years where we don't need to put him in there.
I feel like you cut his legs out from under him in some manner, in some way, just because you basically said we've brought your replacement in already before you've played one game for us.
I mean, honestly. That's so true, though.
He got Mike Glennon. Remember Glennon was at a Bears draft party, and they had just signed him to a deal, and they draft Trubisky number 2 overall, and he's looking around going, wait, what? And it's like, that I understood, because it wasn't like it was a big monster contract.
Only a Bears fan would think Glennon.
No, but at least it's a fair comp. It's a hundred plus million dollar contract that you just signed Kirk Cousins to. And if you were that concerned with his health and his issues, why'd you sign him? Like, if that was the issue, why'd you sign him? And it's not the Penix signing itself. It's the fact that you just gave all that money to a quarterback and then go out and do this.
Yeah. What did they sign Glennon to? Like, it wasn't that big of a contract.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like,
and what was the concern for you guys? His neck?
No, well, yeah, he does have a listen.
Ah,
that guy didn't have a neck.
You
gotta
make sure you stretch them hamstrings. Yeah. You know what I mean?
He didn't have a neck; he had a pool noodle. But
that's a leg.
But it's like you just
put a head on a leg.
He had the Christmas Story lamp on his shoulders.
Golly,
man. But yeah, Kirk Cousins' agent and Kirk Cousins apparently shocked.
And that's going to be in his head. I mean, let's be clear: yeah. He's going to compete, but it's human nature. To have it in your head that's who, you know, they brought in a guy that they want to play. Like, you used your first round top 10 pick. You're going to want him to play. And that's, to me, that creates a level of drama that's going to play out that – and I mean, it shook the draft. That kind of shook the draft up right there.
Oh, yeah.
I was listening.
That's where Minnesota started to then go, we
just got to move up. Yeah.
We can't even sit at 11.
They moved that one position because of the stir that created.
I was listening to you guys when that happened, and Jay kind of threw it out, sort of. Listen, I've just heard, and it's picked up some steam that, you know, maybe they would think quarterback here and Michael Penix could be the guy. And you guys were like, nah, no. Come on.
Dude, Leger Duzable, who I work with, said it on Wednesday on a podcast we did. And we kind of just we didn't dismiss it. I think we kind of just were like, yeah, I'd be interested. Like, kind of moved on. Like, it wasn't like we really spent much time on it. But there have been some people talking, and I think there's some rumblings about some of the homework they've done. But I'll tell you what, the first thing I thought, well, not the first, probably like the fifth thing I thought, I just had this picture in my mind. And VAR can speak to this. Of just Any Given Sunday.
You talking about when, his wife Willie starts Beeman. Slapping? Oh, Willie Beeman. And it really is the same. It really is. If you think about Willie Any Beeman. Given Sunday, the guy who's starting and the guy they just drafted, it kind of has the same dynamic. He had his sunglasses on, had his shirt wide open. You know, he was feeling good. He was swagged out. You know, Kirk Cousins, I hope, gets slapped by his wife. Like, you better not let him beat you out.
You know, there was a...
You know, we got kids to feed. We got a lifestyle to maintain. You better not let him beat you out.
You know, there
I'm
was...
I'm trying.
Somebody did point out that, you know, apparently the Falcons, you know, really like quarterbacks named Michael that are left-handed that also...
Is funny. Didn't even put that one together. Let's stay away from the dogs.
By the way, somebody posted the picture of the dog with the surprised look on the couch going, dogs. Dogs in Atlanta seeing another Michael come to town.
Oh, no.
It's
y'all
so
tripped
terrible.
Out.
It's terrible.
Why y'all hating?
It's so terrible.
Come on. on, Spot. Come here, Spot. Sit, boy. Sit.
I will say this, though. It did add some intrigue to the draft that I don't think a lot of people expected.
Can we be honest? It was so chalk right out the gate that I was like, man, everyone played this thing up way too much about the trades. It did get exciting in the sense of you saw so many darn quarterbacks, 14 Jeez. Straight offensive players.
Jeez.
But it was almost like everyone's like, oh, this is boring. I felt like watching it, that was kind of the sentiment I got almost, was like some of the analysts were upset there wasn't more trades, more action happening.
The market has spoken. The rules against us defenders are rendering us an endangered species, and everybody is just loading up on offense. It's just all offense. Offense.
So
offense.
I was looking back a little bit to see how unlikely from a betting standpoint it was that Atlanta chose Michael Penix Jr. with the first pick, and it was 12-1. And I was texting Brady last night. I thought it would have been more than that. And you just wonder if, you know, Brady's
Somebody
doing
knew.
A pot. You know, yeah, it's kind of interesting. You look back on it now and go, oh, okay. So maybe it wasn't that much of a surprise. And then I saw that they went and everybody flew out. Like, they had everybody there in Seattle looking at his workout. And, you know, there was some of the expectation that maybe the Rams, like Albert Breer talked about it, the Rams might take a quarterback. You know, there's some rumblings that maybe Matt Stafford wants a new deal, wants some sort of a restructuring, and there's some back and forth going with that. The Cowboys with Dak Prescott's future, Jared Goff.
The Raiders were jockeying and Minnesota to get Michael Penix.
I bet on Penix to go to the Raiders.
I mean, I think people were beside themselves in that Raiders office when that happened.
They were beside themselves.
$10
down the drain.
They picked Brock Bowers. They just took a first-round tight end last year.
You know what, though? Hey, he did grow up in Napa. So, you know, with all those training camps they had out there, maybe that would be that does make some sense there for the Raiders.
I mean, but that's a steal, though, to get Brock
Bowers.
I love
the player. I think the combination of tight ends is interesting, but – bruh.
I know.
They needed
a quarterback.
and you didn't address it.
Who was there?
That's the problem, though. Like, they would have. Here's the thing I'd love to begin about Terry Fontenot and what they did. It caught everyone off guard and by surprise so much so that it literally caused a panic.
Yeah.
I mean, Minnesota had to give up something to move up a spot.
Yep.
And then Denver's like, well, I mean, we're good where we're at. But at that point, you would have thought Las Vegas would have called the Jets, and maybe they did, but you would have thought they would have leapfrogged Denver, and they would have said, but maybe they didn't like Bo Nix. I mean, that's the reality, is that was the only one left. Denver loved him.
Yeah.
There was probably a varying degree on how they felt about Nix. Like, I'll say this about the Raiders, because they actually have a pick. Do they have a pretty early second-round pick?
Efferding.
Because I actually think Rattler will come off early.
I was about to say, about Rattler.
He's the next one. I'm telling you, dude, I think that young man's got a shot at the NFL level.
They're picking 44. So they're picking coming up about 12 picks in.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah, that's not close
enough. Oh, no.
Hey, you know what, though? At least Gardner Minshew might actually get a real shot. He might get a real shot to be a quarterback and not have to worry about it.
I don't think they're going to. Damn. I don't think they're going to give him a real shot.
Damn it.
I'm just being honest. Do you guys feel like that's the case?
I want it to be the case,
nectar,
but no.
The nectars of the gods, they give him a shot of. I don't know about shot in terms of playing.
I mean, I'm looking in front of him who would potentially take a quarterback instead, and there really isn't anyone in the second round up until the Raiders, so maybe they could stay put. But, I mean,
New England, Arizona, Washington, Chargers. Yeah, I don't see it.
But the other team I'd be worried about is the Giants at 47.
I mean, I will say this. Atlanta's picking 43. Who the hell knows? They might go Rattler.
I was shocked that there was a show of solidarity between the Giants and Daniel Jones. I mean, they gave him a weapon.
That's what I'm saying. Like, at 47, I think they could be in play. But I guess they probably felt like they needed a playmaker more so than a quarterback. And maybe they're not thinking about the future. Like, Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot, well, Fontenot's been there, but Raheem Morris is probably preaching to him, like, I just got here. This is a good football team. I think I can make them into a division winner, a playoff team. You know, help me. We've got the quarterback for the now. We've got the quarterback for the future. Maybe the Giants don't feel like they can think that way. Maybe they're like, hey, we need a veteran guy. We need a playmaker. We have, I mean, especially considering what happens with Darren Waller. We don't know how that's going to work out. But that offense with no Saquon is devoid of having some big-time playmakers. They got one now. So maybe that was more of the thought process, and we feel like we're a little more desperate to not, you know, spend a pick on a rookie quarterback when we'd still need a playmaker. We're not going to find a playmaker like that at 47.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, though, man. That was a fun scene last night.
One other thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we'll circle back on the Atlanta thing. I'll take a different angle at it because I want to ask you guys a question, but we'll circle back on it.
It is two pros and a cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio. Also, this is important to mention because I know this probably got left out in whatever draft broadcast you were listening to, which hopefully it was just Fox Sports Radio and it was just LeVar Arrington leading the charge of the FSR draft coverage. But today is...
It's
a football Friday. Right?
Oh, it is.
Yeah, it's a football Friday.
Let's go far. Come on, Jonas.
I'm tired. I'm tired.
Come on, Lee.
Hey, they got drafted. What happened to O'Lu's girlfriend? O'Lu's girlfriend. Come on. She got boxed out. She got boxed out. Come on. Come on.
All right, here we go.
Let's do this. Friday night is a football Friday.
Oh, beautiful, Mark.
Yeah, football Friday. Rock 'em, sock 'em. Yeah. Spike it.
It is a football Friday.
Come on.
Which is
drop
just
it down.
Glorious news if you are a Lakers fan, hoping that everyone's just going to skip past the fact that you're about to get
y'all
your ass
lost,
swept.
Bitches.
You're about to get your ass swept. But
I told you, break out the brooms.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't let streaks or smearing on your windshield compromise your visibility. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see our selection. Our professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades while you wait. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.